Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name again is Jeffrey Davis, and we are streaming more stories than ever before, how to go back to this economy, how to deal with it, how to succeed. Our next guest is Harry Margolis, partner at Margolis & Bloom. Welcome.
Good to be here, Jeff.
Good. You're a first-time guest, Harry, so why don't you tell us a little bit about Margolis & Bloom?
So Margolis & Bloom is a law firm, six lawyers at the moment. We focus on estate planning, but really on elder law and special needs planning, which is how we started the firm, or I started the firm over 30 years ago. And I have two partners currently, Jeff Bloom and Tricia D'Agostino, and three other attorneys. And we're here to help our clients deal with the kinds of things that everybody faces, whether it's illness or death or long-term care. That's our bailiwick.
Well, these are important issues right now. I just got a text of somebody in a mature facility where they're in a lockdown and they think that two people have COVID.
It's a really tough time right now.
And I know someone else who had a stroke and they couldn't get to their mother. So, I mean, there's a myriad of issues, and I think it's going to lead to a lot of litigation down the road. I don't know what you think. Maybe you can be the expert.
Well, it could, but I think the facilities are going to be given the benefit of the doubt, I would think, because they're dealing with a very tough situation. And some are, of course, dealing with it better than others. But they're trying to keep everybody safe as best they can. And the result is just denying access to family members, which can be terrible.
Well, it's very hard for both sides.
Yeah, definitely. And we hear a lot of terrible stories, and especially if people do get sick, then they often can't be with loved ones. And sometimes, of course, when people are hospitalized, they die without being with loved ones.
Right.
And then if they do die, you can't have the normal funeral and memorial service that you would want to have, because we got to limit it to 10 people right now.
Oh, I had a relative die in Canada last week. There was no way. I mean, I guess I could have gone to Canada. I just never would have been returning.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
You can get in, but you can't get out.
You're right. Right. The cross-border stuff I wasn't even thinking about.
Right. Right. And that's an issue when the borders will ever open up, any of the borders. There's talk of any of that stuff.
My guess is that they will once things quiet down a bit. I hope by August, because we were planning on going to Canada in August, but we'll see.
Well, and I know some Americans who are stranded in other countries.
Yeah.
And they're looking to come back.
I think it's been pretty tough for them. My brother lives in Switzerland, however, and they're way ahead of us. So they're getting down to about 50 new cases in the whole country every day, and they're opening back up.
Right, right. That's like, sort of like Sweden. It was always a little bit more opened up.
Yeah, but I think as a result, Sweden's had some more coronavirus than some of the other Scandinavian countries.
So how did you get into this area of the law? Was it by choice? You fell into it? Someone forced you?
Some mix of all the above. So I got out of law school, got a job at what back then was considered a big firm, Palmer & Dodge, which may it rest in peace.
No longer I remember exists. Them.
And they, as one of their pro bono things, they staffed a position at Greater Boston Elderly Legal Services. So every 4 months, an associate would go over and pick up the caseload. I think it was in part through their altruism, wanting to do something good, but in part they figured they'll let us young associates get into court on legal services clients, not on their own clients. So it was considered a good experience. But kind of feel a big firm lawyer and wanted to represent regular people. And I became aware of what was a brand new field then of elder law. Right. And I was always entrepreneurial and left the firm, left the legal services and hung up a shingle. That was in 1987.
Yeah.
And fortunately, not too many people knew much about elder law then. So it wasn't too hard to establish myself as an expert. I just had to be sort of one step ahead of the clients, I guess, kind of like teachers who need to be one step ahead of their students, and was able to build a practice doing this.
Well, I would think that your field of law is booming right now. Everybody's getting older, and with COVID and everything, what are some of the biggest issues you're dealing with right now?
Well, we've always been dealing with a lot of mass health issues. So unfortunately, the only system we have for as a long-term care insurance for the middle class is mass health, which is the Massachusetts form of Medicaid. And it's at its base, it's a poverty program. It's health insurance for people who don't have money. But unlike most health insurance, it actually covers nursing home care. And it's been expanding in recent years to cover some assisted living care and some home care, though it's more limited and more complicated for those. And it's incredibly complicated. So which is good for lawyers. So if it's not good for citizens, that they need to hire a lawyer to get a public benefit that they're entitled to, but they need to. And so that's always been a big part of our practice. But as baby boomers like me, and I assume like you, age, we're at least some of us, of course, many of us feel we're going to be healthy and live forever. But the reality is we won't.
I'm not that naive.
So we have to start doing our own planning. So we're doing a lot more estate planning than we ever did before for baby boomers, but it's including an eye towards long-term care and, of course, getting any kind of incapacity planning. So that involves healthcare directives and durable powers of attorney are probably your two most important documents.
Interesting. And do you tend to get retained at times by the children, or is it always the parents?
It's both. It's often the children when a crisis occurs. So the parents may or may not have planned ahead, but if one of them needs care, then everybody's trying to pick up the pieces, and there's the whole healthcare side, which is complicated because people don't know what the prognosis or outcome is going to be. It's a moving target. Someone who may need somebody to check in every day today may need much more care a year or two from now. And so they're dealing with all that. At the same time, they're dealing with the legal issues, getting documents in place, and the financial issues. How are you going to pay for all this? And we can help with both of those.
Great. We've been speaking with Harry Margolis, partner at Margolis and Bloom. Your partners, did you all start at Palmer and Dodge together, or was that just the
way
that happened?
I started this solo. Both my partners worked for me as law clerks when they were both at Suffolk Law School, and they've been with me a long time. So I might say I trained them, or they trained me.
Like a marriage.
We've grown up together. And they're terrific, both of them.
Well, as issues come up with elder care law, we'd like you to come back and visit us again and talk to us about them. Again, our goal is to sort of stream out stories for and about entrepreneurs. Harry, if someone was looking for the firm, contact you, how would they find you?
They should go to margolis.com, margolis. And I also have another site called askharry.info, where I answer consumer, estate, and elder law planning questions for no charge.
Great. I want to thank you for being on Radio Entrepreneurs today, and we look forward to speaking with you again. Stay well, stay healthy.
You too, Jeff.
Thank you. I remind everyone, this is Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more stories.